NADBF testing. NADBF mobile. PR, test 1, 2, 3, and test. Test 1, 2, 3, test. KAPR.
KAPR on statewide 1.
Kilo Echo 2, Bravo November Yankee.
TFA, that's working on statewide 1.
TF-8, FTS, monitoring.
Kilo Echo 2, Bravo November Yankee.
Echo 2, Bravo November Yankee. This is KF-8, FTS, go ahead.
Hi, I think I heard K-8-FTS, I could be wrong. This is Devin from Warren, how's it going?
Oh, Devin, yeah, this is KF-8, FTS, finding good signal. It's going well, going well. How's my signal?
Well, I'm not getting any broken packets or anything. You seem to be coming in okay. I'm in a weird part. I'm actually in Troy right now. I'm in a kind of a weird, pretty sick area, so it's possible I'm getting a little bit of multipath.
Oh, you have very clear signal, full quieting. You have a good signal, good signal. That's what I'm learning more and more about this digital is you get a lot of clear signal. So you talking on the Detroit repeater, perhaps?
Yep, it looks like I'm coming through Detroit. I usually end up jumping between Detroit and Mount Clemens. It really depends on the RSSI the radio sees. Seems to like Detroit right now, so sticking on Detroit.
Yeah, roger that. I got my base set up for both Mount Clemens and Detroit. I'm in at the QTH right now. I just pulled up the chart here. Oh, there you are. Yeah, you're on Detroit repeater. KF-8 FTS, back to you.
Yeah, I'm currently mobile. I just got off work and decided to jump on here. So I'm sure I'll see some mixed results because everything's so urban. But seems to be going through okay. And you seem to be coming in just fine.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm just looking at the RSSI and. And you're coming in at minus 86.6. Good signal.
See who was on here. One was. Seems to be a little hit and miss. I'm guessing there's times of high traffic and low traffic.
Here in about an hour, 40 minutes to an hour, people start getting in their mobiles, going home from work. It definitely picks up. It'll definitely pick up. I want to do something, if you don't mind. Right now I'm transmitting on, what am I putting out here? About 10 watts. I'm gonna back it down a bit to see how she does. I'm gonna back it down and see if you can give me a signal report.
Yeah, will do. Sounds good. I'll listen for your change.
Okay, now we're at about, right now we're running about 1 watt right now.
That's fantastic. You're, really, you're unchanged, so you're in a really good spot.
Well, roger that, thank you. I've been going on the repeater crawl on VHF, UHF analog, and I did some. I'm in near Utica, 21 Mile Road. In Ryan is a basic area where my QTH, and I try to use as little power as possible on the repeater crawl. So I hit most of them around the in the VHF, UHF around, well, within, you know, 10, 15 miles with 1 watt. Further than that, I bump it up. But that repeater crawl is a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever done that, Devin. Over.
No, I've never really tried it. I'm not necessarily new to radio, but I'm a little new to the ham space. I've been in radio for a good little while, probably going on 6 years. And playing with the ham side has been kind of new to me, so I haven't gotten to do any of the different, you know, competitions and events and what have you. Probably using the wrong terminology, but what's the idea? It sounds like it's hitting as many repeaters as you can with as low power as you can.
Well, sort of. There's a fellow, Kilo Delta 8 Zulu Sierra Kilo, and he's got this, he produces interactive Excel spreadsheet, and he'll pick a few repeaters, maybe half a dozen repeaters, and people get on about on Friday evenings at 6:50 it starts, and everybody just checks in on 145.33, the DTE repeater, and from there, you know, we just progress to these different repeaters scattered all around the metro area, and he'll give you a signal report, and then we go, then it switches to a particular simplex frequency, and we try that and see how that works out. But there's people from all over the region, from Windsor and Ann Arbor and Lincoln Park and Madison Heights, and, you know, just all around, Warren, Troy, Utica, and there's, so I don't know, anywhere from 8 to 15 guys, and it's pretty cool. You go on this website and open up this Excel spreadsheet, and you can make sure your radio's programmed appropriately, and then on Friday evenings, go through. It takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, and go to a lot of different repeaters. It's pretty cool.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'll probably have to give it a go at some point. I have so many other side projects. try not to get too distracted from other stuff. I'm usually on P25, but I work with DMR quite a bit, so this is kind of my time to play with DMR. But analog is fun too. I don't know. I don't talk too much, but I'm trying to branch out a little bit, so learning more stuff and hearing.
Roger that. Well, I found that a lot of I get on there when I've done something different to my antenna system or different radio, or, you know, maybe I'll plug an HT into my base antenna and, you know, things like that, and just to see, you know, which direction my antenna picks up best or broadcasts best and things like that. So, I've learned it from here in Utica. I can trigger the Ann Arbor repeater, but I can't hold it. There's no modulation. And I can trigger the down into Wyandotte and whatnot, but no modulation. But other than that, I hit all the Detroit area repeaters pretty well. You know, the FBI system and the DART and any number of others. But I go on there when I've done something different to my antennas and what have you.
If you don't mind me asking, what are you running? What kind of radio are you running? And how hot, like, what kind of antenna, how hot is your antenna?
Right now, I've got an Anytone 578 tri-bander that's analog as well as DART. And it's got four different wattage signals, you know, strengths anywhere from 1 to, it says 1 to 50, but it's sometimes 55 watts. And for an antenna, I've got a copper J-pole, It's mounted, the base of the antenna at the point of connection is about 26 feet above the driveway, which puts me at about 730 feet above sea level here.
It sounds like a nice little setup. I'm a Motorola snob, but it's because of work and what have you. Unfortunately, I don't have a base setup at home personally. Typically, I'm either mobile or, on a HT. But that's pretty cool. That's a nice little setup. The J-Pole seem like pretty good antennas. I think if I'm not mistaken, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I have a Slim Jim antenna, and I want to say that those kind of act like a J-Pole. Again, I could be wrong, but that antenna, it has been pretty cool. Haven't got to use it too much, but I used it on a repeater I temporarily deployed, excuse me, not long ago, and it worked pretty well.
A Slim Jim is one step above J-Pole, at least I would consider it, because it's a longer wavelength. The J-Pole is about 5/8 wave on 2 meters, and a little more on the 70-centimeter band. But the Slim Jim actually is more antenna. You get a little bit of gain on a Slim Jim. The standard J-Pole, it may give a couple of dB of gain, but it's omnidirectional. So it's not like a coil-loaded antenna where you'll get a stronger signal, out in more, the signal's more of a pancake shape rather than the spherical or the donut shape of a J-Pole on a vertical. But it seems to do me okay.
Yeah, whatever works, right? It seems to be working very well. It's probably because of your very good antenna placement. So antenna placement's always kind of the goal. from what I've picked up from my time working in radio, a well-placed antenna, regardless of the power, somewhat, does wonders to any kind of system. So it sounds like you've got everyone kind of beat because of your antenna position.
Well, perhaps for the people to the south of me and to the east, because of my elevation, where I'm at is a little bit of is high ground. And then as you go south, get the land. I'm at higher level, sea level. I'm at 705 in my driveway above sea level. So, downtown Detroit, by the time you're down there, you're below 600 feet. Sea level, like 590, 595 at ground level. So I don't have a lot of buildings. My broadcast south over Warren, of Troy and Warren, straight down from Ryan Road. And there's very little large buildings in the way. And then to the west, there are a little higher elevations. I do okay, but there's some the hills of Rochester, get in the way. So I seem to do better to the east and to the south. And I can go hit Port Huron or St. Mary's, in St. Clair, I believe it is. There's a repeater out there that I touch and have communicated with. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I do have a Comet CX333 that I just got, and I got to get the rest of the hardware and crawl up. Get the 30-foot ladder and crawl up and mount a gable end mount to get that antenna up in the air. And that's got about 7 dB of gain. So I'm excited about that. Just happen to get my gumption together to stretch that ladder out and climb up.
Well, all right. That sounds like it'll do you even better. It sounds like fun. I'm sure about about to get home here soon, so probably going to de-access for now. But it sounds like next time we run into each other, possibly, you'll have that new antenna and we'll be able to test that out if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, we can give it a go. I know a lot of the guys, or some of the guys from the Macomb ARPSC and the Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club are big into Motorola. W8FU, for one, he's quite a radio guy. And I use the FBI repeater that network that he put together. All right, well, Devin, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you an email. I'll look you up on QRZ, and I'll send you an email with a link to that website. If you would like to do that, just get on that repeater crawl sometime or another. And it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of guys who probably recognize their names or their call signs. Well, 73, this is AF8FTS. That is Finding Good Signal. David is the first personal here, and we'll talk again soon. We'll be clear on your final.
All righty. I'll watch for your email. Appreciate the QSO. KE2BNY.
KE8KN testing.
KS8HBW radio check. I'll say what one.
KPR testing. 102.
KPR, KS8HBW. Able to hear you loud and clear.
Test one. Test one, two. Test.
Kilo Echo 2, Bravo November Yankee, asking for a radio check. I just installed a mobile into a vehicle.
KEQDNY, KF8HBW. Sounds good over here, Novi.
Thank you very much. Just wanted to make sure the radio was working. It seems to be doing what it's supposed to. Appreciate it.
You guys most welcome. KF8HBW clear.
KEEPL on State Ride 1.
KC8MXG. Mobile.
Hello, KC8. This is KF8GSD Mobile.
E8MSG. This is KF8FGS. Good. Roger that, MSG. Where's your 2T8?
Novi now, coming from my regular home, which is Hancock, Michigan.
Roger that. Yeah, this is KF8FTS. David is the first personal. We're in Utica, Michigan at the base.
Pretty's voice. This roaming didn't seem to work for me so good, so I, I'm just about in Novi now, and of course I'm picking up the Novi antenna, but all those other antennas between Upper Peninsula and here, got nothing. I'm going to have to take this thing apart and take a look and see what I did wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, it's all in the programming. Well, like we used to say back in the 70s, it's a GIGO situation, garbage in, garbage out, with these software-based radios. Again, this is KF8FGS.
Thanks for your reply and recognition, KC8MXG. I'll be clear.
Roger that. Glad you had a safe journey. KF8FGS 73, we're clear.
KF8GSD.
KF8GSD, this is KF8FGS. Go ahead.
Good evening, FGS. I do have experience with setting up the roaming zone, more particularly on the Baofeng DM32 UVs. And I know I tried it on I-75, which it does sound like that guy was going up and down. The reception is not that good on I-75. Sometimes you hit the tower, sometimes you don't. At least if it's configured correctly, too. At least that was my experience when I tested it recently, too. But I'm sure a cab-mounted or a roof-mounted antenna would have fixed my problems.
Do that. Antennas fix a multitude of problems.
Agreed. I do have pretty good view in my vehicle since it's a single cab pickup truck with plenty of windows. So generally it does tend to work pretty good, but I'm sure a roof mounted one would make a pretty decent difference as well. KF8 GSD.
Was that the Kilo Foxtrot 8 Golf Sierra Bravo?
Golf Sierra Delta.
Roger that. KF8 FPS. We'll be monitoring.
I've heard that what some people do with their digital radios is that they add in a list of all these radio IDs with the accompanying name as a contact into their radios. That is something I would like to try out. That way I can know what the name of the person who's using these repeaters is, especially since they have a radio ID number.
Well, roger that. The first personal here is David. What is your name?
I'm Chris, located here in Royal Oak.
Well, roger that, Chris. Are you a member of the Hazel Park AM Radio Club?
I'm not a member yet, but they were the ones that administered my AM license exam, and I did participate at the local field day they hosted. How about yourself?
In the same scenario, I took the test there in December of 25, right after the government reopened, and I did join that group right away, and I was at the field day. It was all good. It was all good. Met a lot of nice people. I've learned a lot from them.
For sure. It sounds like a lot of fun of a club to be in over there, too. I did come more toward the end, too, and all I remember was that I was able to do some SSD contests, and then me and some other guy was comparing antenna reach with another person. It was a little interesting, but it was kind of fun.
Roger that. We had a good time. I didn't get on the air, but I did. I worked. I got the worked on getting a couple of the other antennas, and came back on Sunday and helped take the tower down. So that was I figured somebody's got to do it. Might as well be me.
Well, it is what it is. I really appreciate you doing that, too. It was such a wonderful time to be able to use that tower, too.
Yeah, roger that. I also have a DM32, and I'm a member of the Macomb ARPSC, Amateur Radio Public Service Corps, and on their website, somebody had produced a code plug for that DM32, and so I downloaded it into the radio, and I got about 275 frequencies, plus I added some of my own, and so I got all the CMN network, the digital, like we're talking on now, plus the all the analog UHF and VHF repeaters all over Michigan. So that was you might want to check that out on the Macomb Amateur Radio Public Service Corps website.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Somebody sent me an email about the websites for the code plugs, too. And I did take a look at those, but personally, I'd like to experiment with making my own code plugs. And so far, I think I'm doing a pretty decent job. I don't have all the other MI5 digital Siemens repeaters plugged in individually, but rather I set them up in a roaming zone. And then I also put together a specific zone for UHF Siemens and then VHF Siemens, plus some other zones as well I put together. I really enjoy plugging it. I think that's a really good skill to have.
Yeah, roger that. I used that as a base for my code plug for that radio. And then, of course, I added all my own and put together my own zones and what have you. And then I have an Anytone 578 mobile radio that I'm using as a base, and that has software is almost identical. It's not close enough to be able to cut and paste, or, you know, copy and paste, but it works the same way. So I've been building that one up, too. I've probably got about 10 zones and, I don't know, 150 frequencies or so, 100 frequencies, something like that. Quite a few, Chris.
That's the fun part about ham radio, figuring things out and having fun. I did pull up your mobile unit over here on Amazon just to get a look at it. It looks like a pretty decent unit. Tri-band, DMR, UHF, airband, APRS, Bluetooth audio, wow. That looks like a pretty solid unit right there.
Well, thank you. I'll tell my wife. She gave it to me as a gift, actually before I got my license. And once I learned how to program it, I've been having a good time with it. Was out on the repeater crawl several times. I don't know if you've ever done that. The repeater crawl? Go ahead.
I've heard about a repeater crawl, but I have no idea what it is. What might it be?
The repeater crawl is, there's a fellow named Keith, Kilo Delta 8 Zulu Sierra Kilo, and he put together during COVID, you know, with all the homebound restrictions from COVID back in 2020, started the repeater crawl, and he has a website that has an Excel spreadsheet, a live spreadsheet. And you go on that, you find that spreadsheet, and, you know, so during the week, and you look at what's coming up on that on the coming Friday for the repeater crawl is at 6:50 in the evening on Fridays. And there'll be a half a dozen different repeaters that he'll have the frequencies and the PL tones and what have you, and then maybe half a dozen different repeaters. And then people log in. It's a net, and people log into this repeater crawl net, and then he gives you a report. He's in Canton, and we start out on the DTE, or the repeater on 145.33, which is on the DTE building, and in Detroit. And we bounce, we go to different repeaters around the area, and we all give signal reports and whatnot, and he kind of gives you an idea how your base is doing, how your mobile radio might be doing. And every week it's a different group of repeaters.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. It's like trying to hit as many repeaters.
Different repeaters and different days. There's somebody on a lot of them. They are quiet. You know, most people are working or doing chores around the house. But, you know, around noon, or first thing in the morning they're busy, and then around noon they get busy, and then in later afternoon and through the evening, any number of nets are on that you can pick up in the different repeaters. And you can go to the Hazel Park website, Hazel Park Amateur Radio Club website, and go to the events tab and scroll down, and there'll be a list of quite a number of nets that are on in the evenings, different days.
Sweet. Well, thanks for the update. I guess I'll have to take a look at all these repeaters and see if they do host a regular net. I know I typically monitor the Hazel Park DART repeaters, the UHF and the VHF, and it looks like they do have a net.
Yeah, you'll find on the GM repeater, there's nets in different times, and on the Lance Cruz Club repeater, which is in Sterling Heights around 17 Mile and Ryan area, which I'm sure you'd be able to hit. What are you using as a radio from your QTH?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I quite understood the question. Do you mind repeating it again, please?
Yeah, this is KF8FTS. What are you using for radio at home?
My handheld for either digital or analog.
Yeah, I did not quite receive what you were saying. Give it another shot.
I typically use KF8GSD.
Kilo Foxtrot 8 Golf Sierra Delta. Yeah, I've been, you've been intermittent. It sounds like maybe you're not staying on the key.
Oh.
Try it again.
I installed a new antenna now, something that should give me better reception and transmission over here. Let me know if that's okay. I just installed it, so, yeah.
Yeah, roger that. What antenna did you put up?
I started off with a little 8-inch, like, rubber ducky antenna, and then when you told me you weren't really receiving it anymore, I put it on a 41-inch tape measure antenna. And as long as it's being received clearly, I guess that's all that matters. Anyways, at home I typically use a 10-watt handheld, so no fancy base stations or mobile units yet.
Roger that. Well, I tell you what, the 41-inch tape measure antennas work out pretty well, especially, you know, if you're outside or the ground level, at least. I built a copper J-pole out of some copper pipe and a few fittings, and that's what I'm talking on now. It's on top of a long pole next to my house, about 26 feet up into the air to the point of connection. Of course, then the antenna's about just shy of 5 foot tall. So if you want to see the midpoint, is up close to, you know, 28 feet.
Now, I've always wanted to DIY my own antenna, but for doing that correctly, I understood it's best to have one of those VNC, I believe it, antenna analyzers.
Yeah, any that you have will work out fine. I worked off a 10-watt mobile for a long time with that, I called it the shovel handle J-pole. But I'm going to have to say 73 and ring off. I got to get back to my chores. Nice talking with you, Chris. This is KF8FTS. We'll be clear on your final.
Thank you so much, FTS. I wish you the best. 73. Kilo Fox Track 8, Golf Sierra Delta. I'll be clear.
This is KAAUHG on Statewide 1.
KAETL monitoring. KAETL monitoring statewide. 1.
Nancy QRZ KAETL, or I didn't catch the call. This is Kilo Alpha 8 Uniform Hotel Golf, Steve.
How are you doing, Steve? My name here is Eric. My call sign is Kilo 8 Echo Papa Lima.
Okay, gotcha. Kilo 8 Echo Papa Lima. Yep, I'm over here in northern St. Clair Shores, kind of close to Lake St. Clair.
Can you say again, please? I had a vehicle drive by and I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm here just northern St. Clair Shores, close to Lake St. Clair.
Roger that. I am about 12 miles northeast of Lake. But I know where St. Clair Shores is. I was a caregiver in that area a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Yep, you know that is. Yeah, and then Clint, I know a little bit around, I'm more so about Davison. I have a cousin that lives in Davison off of Irish Road.
Okay, I also live on Irish Road, north of Davison, more towards Otisville, a little bit further north. I'm like 8 miles north of Myers and Davison.
Okay, that isn't that far away. In fact, I think they're playing this week or sometime this next week. First football game for Davison, that's a big deal. They're playing Roseville, which is right next to St. Clair Shores here, and my cousin said that they follow the football and, you know, sports in Davison and stuff like that. So usually during football season, my cousin and I we call, we'll talk, and we'll follow the Davison game sometimes. Follow the score on the internet or whatnot. Sometimes they have a radio type broadcast. But I think they're playing the first game in Flint Beach or one of the stadium there instead of playing in Davison for whatever reason.
Okay, Roger that. I wanted to get my microphone plugged in for my HD here. It's a lot easier for me to use than the handheld.
Yeah, I bet it is. See, I'm going into the Mount Clemens link, and just a few weeks ago I got this DM32UV, this Wolfgang, and so I'm going to download a cold plug, but I figured out how to program in at least statewide one and a couple other digital frequencies off of the front panel of the keys on the radio. So I didn't realize it's such a novelty until people think, oh, you know, they have code, you know, they load code plugs or off the computer, but it's not so common that they use the keypad.
Okay, I haven't had this radio for very long. I'm still learning it, but definitely a nice radio.
Yeah, it works well. Yeah, I'm going to kind of figure out a little bit more about, you know, putting scan lists together and things like that. So, seeing where it goes. And it's interesting, it has multiple zones. So I guess you can do 64 channels in a zone. And you can have, I forget how many zones, but I think it all comes up to what, something like 4,000 channels you can program into the radio?
That sounds about right. I don't know the exact numbers for my radio, but I know it's a lot. Just looking at the programming, but all I got is the MI5 network in my area, so for me to try to do something different, I don't know if it would work.
Right, yeah, there's a Hikura repeater you came upon, digital. It's digital and does analog as well, and gave a presentation at our Macomb County Amateur Radio Public Service Corps meeting last month. You know, how we used AI in part to make this repeater work and all, and he's in New Haven and got it on the air, so he's got the talk group on spot one, a certain one, and so it's 315049. But then on spot two, it's opened up, you can just put in, I haven't been able to get to it, it's a little bit far from me a bit, but it's on 2 meters, it's a 2 meter DMR repeater, but it's got brand, you can use it, you know, to bring up different Brandmeister nodes on spot two.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, like I said, there's not a lot of digital repeaters in the area. The other ones that are out here are D-Star, but I don't know of any other DMR repeaters in the area, closer to me anyway.
Right, yeah. I think the one that a lot of people, what, Mayville, like up around Carroll, Mayville is further to the east. I think they have a DMR or MI5 and MI2 maybe node there, where people seem to access often.
K-A-U-H-G for ID.
This is K-A-A-U-H-G. So do you run any other modes of communication? Do you get on the low band?
No, I don't get on low band. Maybe around field day or something. I'm just a technician class. All I have is VHF and UHF capability, but I do a little bit of packet, a little bit of D-Star, analog voice, obviously. I'm still learning some of the newer stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I am a general for a long time. And, I'm kind of like you. I get on HF around field day. I do try to brush up on my CW a little bit. Don't make many contacts, but use field day as an opportunity to stay, at least keep from forgetting it. I don't remember all the post signs, but I can do the alphabet and numbers still pretty good. So I've retained that. And Yeah, field day is fun. Where do you work field day?
Well, I'm part of Lapeer County Amateur Radio Association. I do field day with them. I've been a member of that club since I got my radio license. I lived in Lapeer when I got my license, and that's my home club. But this year we did field day in Amley City at the fairgrounds there. So it was a lot of fun for me this year. Hopefully next year we'll have some more fun and a good time. At field day this year, I did FT8 on 2 meter, if you can believe it. I got a total of 7 contacts over field day weekend on 2 meter doing FT8, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, some people are concerned that amateur is going to turn into like FT8. But good, yeah, for 2 meters. SDA, and I am familiar with the fairgrounds many years ago. Had some in-laws that lived up in Emily City, and then moved to Attica, but so I'm familiar with Emily City before even they built the high school and stuff, probably back to 1980 or so. Kind of familiar with some of that, you know, that area. And the fairgrounds, when before it was engulfed by other stuff. But the local club here used to go to a place north of Emily City, almost to my left. I don't know what was the name of the road. You know, it was the road that you would kind of, I remember you go north, like past where Blasted Pickles is kind of, and then continue north. Whatever that road is, that's not Black Corners or something, Black Creek or something road. I don't know if you know what road that is. I think Black, something like that. Go up that and then keep going, you know, towards Marlette, and they would be, someone had, it was pretty high ground. And would run out of the size pole barn.
Oh, Roger that. I know what Roger's talking about. It's Black Corners Road. That's the name of it. It's Black Corners. I'm quite familiar with Lapeer County. More so with Lapeer County than I am Oak Genesee County, to be honest. I grew up out there and had a lot of fun as a kid. Had friends all over Lapeer County. I had friends that did horse shows and ranching. So I know a little bit of that stuff out there, but that's part of my life, I guess. That's my life history. Over to you, KATPL.
Okay, Kate. K-A-A-U-H-E. So you're familiar with the muck farms up there?
And say that again? What farms are you referring to? I'm not quite sure I understand.
They call them the muck farms. Do you know what those are, the muck farms?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you go over there and look more to the east of the county. You go up there and you see that really dark dirt and stuff. You know, it's like a peat, but it's dark. It was an old riverbed, and they would, harvest it. And that's why over there, it was real popular to grow carrots and some other root crops, you know, root crops up there, especially carrots, because they grew really well in what they call muck. So they call them the muck farms. You could say they would harvest the top layer off and bag it up and, you know, sell that too. But it was good for, it was rich soil for root crops.
I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever heard of the muck farms. I know if I can picture what you're referring to, but I do not believe I've ever been in that location. I'd say more like Elmont, Dryden, Metamora, that area there, you know, the south end of Lapeer County. My best friend growing up, he lived in Metamora, and his parents had a farm with sheep and horses, and Yeah, that was some good old times back then.
Oh, yeah, one time Kurt Gibson lived just north of Metamora out there. I remember so the whom I was in love with the city attorney in Lake City. And so kind of had a chance to meet some different people. And one guy was, he had a little farm up there, you know, in a place, kind of interesting, a home office. And, a story about the guy here. But anyway, you remember you talked about having some dealings with Kirk Gibson and Rosema when he had an airplane. I think Kirk Gibson had a pilot's license at one time. It would fly down. So some stories there. And then Dryden with Seven Ponds, going over there to what, Seven Ponds Nature Center?
Oh, I know Seven Ponds Nature Center like the back of my hand. I went there all the time as a kid for Seven Ponds. I was there a couple of weeks ago. About a year ago, I was there too. Still looking pretty good, Steve. You're reminding me of some people that I think you know too. If you know the name Gubert, then we definitely have a mutual friend.
Let's see, Gubert, you said Gubert, Gubert, I don't know. You said Gubert?
Yeah, do you know a veterinarian by the name of Dr. Carl Gubert?
No, I don't. Don't know any veterinarians, really. But I know, like when you're talking about Seven Ponds, I'm going there, with the brother-in-law at the time. And he would take, you know, his kids and then, some of the other ones, maybe my daughter was really young at the time. But anyway, and I would maybe even carry her. But going to Seven Ponds, and they said that's like a real prairie, and it's got signs and stuff talking about the prairie, whatever. I remember go there and you'd see grouse, jumping up, or pheasants would fly up.
Yep, I know what you're talking about. With Seven Ponds, definitely know what you're talking about. There's a arboretum near me called Farmare, and I've seen wild turkeys and wild deer right in front of me.
Yeah, two, three years ago, November's ago, there was some first time deer I saw wander up here all the way to Lake St. Clair in the city, and you get deer wander in every once in a while. It was the first time I saw them close to my house, right across the street. But I guess they say it was like the time that the deer start moving around because they're, you're getting a rut and stuff like that. But I remember before they built the high school and all that kind of stuff in the area. I think in my city they have the Lavender Festival. I'm not sure if it is the same time as Field Day.
Well, I'm not so sure about the Lavender Festival. I'm not very familiar with it myself. However, I have to go. My mom is needing some of my help, so I will chat with you later, Steve. This is K8EPL listening for your final.
Okay, very nice to meet your acquaintances and everything. Yep, I took care of my mom and my dad. My dad earlier part of that and all that, and my mom, she lived till 93, moved them in with me a long time ago, but my mom passed on about 3 years ago, so 73, take care. This is KAAUHG.